Yes.
Let's start. My name is Seita. My voice is bad, but anyway, my name is Seita. I'm working for WHO in the regional office in Cairo, and my job is tuberculosis control. And after having two sessions in the morning, let's go to the countries where the real problem is, where the patients are, where the place we need to work together with the health systems people, together and the tuberculosis people, to provide the care for TB. Just to start with afternoon session with some fun, and to release your full stomach, I show you a couple of slides. If you remember that today is the day, 30th anniversary of the primary health care, Almaty. And then there is an international conference going on today, and our director general is there. And this is a slide. This is a book WHO recently published, The Primary Health Care, Now More Than Ever. This is available on the internet. You can download this. It is very interesting. Tuberculosis is referred to. You can count how many times TB is referred to. But today is also very important. It is 33 years after the Sound of Music. It was 1950, I don't know. And then that I think everybody knows this music. The reason I'm showing this music is not just fun. Let's hear the sound of HSS and the sound of tuberculosis. And then that if you know this wonderful movie very well, there's one song called How to Solve the Problem Like Maria. Do you know this? If my voice is not bad, I may sing a song, but anyway, it's like this. How to solve a problem like HSS? Of course, this can be TB. And the lyric is, how do you solve a problem like HSS? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? How do you find a word that means HSS? And then after this. And of course, this is not the place to, you know, say you are this or you are that. But this is a place to find a way to work together. But we know in the countries, this song is sung so many times. At least I sang at least once a week when we talk with the HSS people. Yes. However, today is the place to share the two champions sitting here. Dr. Saxon from Thailand, who is the champion of the tuberculosis and the health insurance, which is the priority in the middle-income countries. And Dr. Egwak, who is, everybody knows, he's a TB manager of Africa, Tanzania, also champion of the TB in the very difficult health systems condition. And both of them are in the picture here. You can find them here. So having said so, may I invite Dr. Soksan? Oh, no, I think it's, which one is first? Yes. Yes, Dr. Soksan, please.
Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to share you TB control and health system strengthening initiative in Thailand from our experience. First of all, I would like to overview the TB control and health sector reform in Thailand. In the year 1996, the DOS strategy has been introduced in Thailand, and 5 years later, it has been covered the whole country by district, by all district. In the same year, in the year 2001, the universal coverage of health insurance has been introduced, and a few years later, after the year 2001, the other change also impact to the TB control, such as the structural reform within the Ministry of Public Health and the digitalization by appointing provincial governor as a CEO. So in the year 2006, the National TB Program has to initiate the TB treatment success rate as a one key performance indicator of the strategic plan at the ministry level. And a year later, we collaborate with the National Health Security Insurance to initiate the TB disease management under the National Health Insurance Office. So the health system structure after the reform, the before and after in terms of the administrative structure remain the same. We have a central level, we have a provincial level, but on Thai population are covered by different health insurance schemes, such as public health employee and dependent, and the social health insurance for those who work in the private sector, and the universal coverage for those who are not eligible for any health insurance. And the big impact to the TB control is health financing. We call the health financing is decentralized, and budget authority has shifted to the hospital directly. The effect of the health sector reform to TB control in Thailand can be done in general in three factors. The first one is less interest in TB control by local level because of the decentralized budget. And we found a high turnover rate of the human staff who work on the TB control. And the TB program monitoring and evaluation activities are inadequate, particularly at the provincial level. This slide would like to give you a picture of the organization structure of health system in Thailand. We call the purchaser and provider system. In the left side, in the red color, represent for the purchaser organized by the National Health Security, and the yellow color represent for the providers organized by the Ministry of Public Health. Under the purchaser, we have three categories of the budget. The first one is universal coverage, and second one are health promotion and prevention, and the last one is disease management for those who for disease that higher cost of the higher medical cost expenditure, including TB, under the disease management. For university coverage, the budget allocated to the people allow $70 per person per year, and health prevention and promotion is about $1 per person per year. So this slide will clear you about the purchaser and provider in Thailand. But the budget will allocate directly to the government hospital and some private hospital where registered with the National Health Security Office. So the challenges and opportunity of the National TB Program are how to advocate local administrative organizations to allocate their budget for TB control activities, and how to influence local TB program to adhere to the national guideline, and how to build their capacity, in particular those who work with the TB program at all level, and how to harmonize many providers in TB service in Bangkok, capital city, and how to increase the involvement of the private hospital, and how to get higher political commitment in providing TB service for those vulnerable population, particularly those non-Thai who are not insured. The national TB program explicit step to ensure TB control not disrupted by the reform. We strengthening the program by monitoring and evaluation, and we have to increase the involvement of all stakeholders in developing the TB strategic plan, and we have to strengthen the staff competence for TB activities. What initiative have been taken by the National TB Program? We would like to summarize that in the year 2006, we set the TB key performance indicator in the Ministry of Public Health Strategic Plan or the National Health Plan. And a year later, we developed the MOU between the Ministry of Public Health and National Health Security Office. And this year, we successfully placed the TB disease as a public health agenda by appointing responsible person as Mr. TB at all level of the hospital and provincial health office. And we carry out the activity of the case finding among this group, such as people living with HIV, prisoner, and migrant. At this moment, the National TB Program performed by work closely with the National Health Security Office in order to improve the TB disease management. And we have to simplify TB standard to be more practical for payment, such as standard diagnosis, follow-up by sputum examination, and home visits, because on activities will be paid by the National Health Security Office, and we have to strengthen the monitoring evaluation because both are the core activities. This picture shows the provider contract and quality assurance. The TB service will be set the standard of care for all levels of the health facility, start from the lowest, from the primary care unit until the excellence center, and we set a set of standards for each level. Under the TB disease management belong to the National Health Security Office, all health facility have to register TB patient through the website and specific program called Smart TB, and they have to do TB screening in household contact, and they have to provide TB treatment consistent to the national guideline, and they have to appoint a case manager and hospital TB coordinator for responsible and providing TB information to the patient, and data collection audit will be done by the national staff, both central and regional level, and we have to follow up the system. The next step for improving TB control in the context of health system development, we divide into three categories. The first one is administrative component. At central level, we have to develop a comprehensive human resource development strategic plan for TB control. And we have to coordinate between organizations to involve in planning and implementation. And we have to invoke the policy maker. And we have to set a meeting regularly between the ministry and among ministry level and department of disease control level. At provincial level, we have the we have to include the TB indicator into the checklist of health inspector, because the health inspector will monitor and evaluate the provincial health office, and TB also put in that checklist. In terms of the financing, we have to ensure that TB drugs are included in all health insurance schemes, including the secalized drug for those multi-drug resistant. And the National Health Security Office have to operate the universal coverage scheme and provide additional funds for non-clinical activities, not only directly for the TB care, but also have to fund for the training, supervision, and home visits. And National TB Program as TB Bureau have to prepare annual TB budget plan within the Bureau of Tuberculosis with the regional office to ensure available funding for public health and management function under the Department of Disease Control. The third one is very, very important component is information system. The next step, we have to link the National TB Surveillance System with the National Health Security Office Information System, because we are the program basis, but the National Health Security Office, they are in the financial basis, but we have to link together. And we those information we have to share the routine TB report with the region level and provincial level to identify where is the strength and where is the weakness. And every 3 months, we have to letting province and ranking region for timely and complete reporting, as well as treatment success rate, and present to the policy maker. I would like to finish my presentation with the lesson learned from Thailand experience by three major our lesson learned. The first one, TB control in Thailand rely on general health system, and main component of the health system affected TB control. There are administration, health financing, and information system. Major activities need to be identified, such as the MOU and the health inspector checklist, need to be addressed to overcome the critical issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's a very wonderful presentation. I'm sorry, my voice is again bad. But the last slide summarizes the main important points. Thank you very much. Should we go to the side? Dr. Egwak? I don't think I need to introduce him, but those who doesn't know him, he is the TB manager of Tanzania and champion. Please.
Thank you, Saita, for the good words and for the introduction to this important symposium. As I said earlier, my name is Dr. Saida Egwaga. I come from Tanzania. I've been responsible for coordinating and coordinating control of tuberculosis and leprosy in the country for the last 10 years. And I've been requested to share with you at least our insight on how the TB program response is contributing to the health system strengthening. I must say, I want first to acknowledge my director, Dr. Mbando, who is with us today. He has decided to take off time. He was supposed to be going to the U.S. straight, but he stopped over so that he can participate and familiarize himself with the TB community. I want to thank the many collaborators who are working with us as in the country. PATH, I see representatives from PATH are here, ICAP are around here, USAID, CDC, and all these are contributing to the TB program efforts in the country. I must also say I've removed some of the slides to catch up with time issues around challenges, because Dr. Chakaya really made it very clear in the morning, and I thought I wasn't going to duplicate and replicate the same. So what I'm going to do is maybe straight talk about what we are doing, and probably at the end of the day give a case study on how we are contributing to health systems. As a program, we are responsible to work within the framework of the health systems. So we have harmonized our planning and budgeting process within the sector-wide planning framework. We are recruiting staff within the health systems. We have received, for example, funding from the Global Fund to increase the number of TB-HIV officers, but that is being done within the framework. We are refurbishing laboratories to support TB diagnosis, and I must rush to say we don't have specific TB laboratory personnel at the point of care. We have TB laboratory coordinators at national level, but at the point of care, we have no specific TB laboratory personnel. However, we are working very closely with these laboratories to ensure that TB diagnosis is done in an acceptable quality and reported accordingly. We are trying as much as possible to optimize the resources such as transport, and we as a program have been having the advantage of getting at least a car for each of the districts, a car for each of the regions or provinces, a motorcycle for each of the districts, but these are not used separately outside the mandate of the health management team of the district or the region. As such, this has helped us to reduce not only the cost of running these vehicles, but even the duplicating some of the efforts we are trying to do. Now, the question is, how do we specifically contribute? I'll start with the leadership and governance. As I said earlier, the NTLP plan, whether it is strategic plan, whether it's annual plan, is part and parcel of the midterm expenditure framework of the Ministry of Health and Social Welfare. When the sector conducts a review, we are part, and indeed, some of the terms of reference which are developed for the health sector review are contributed by the NTP program. So when we go out to do health sector review, the program is also reviewed at the same time. However, at the end of every strategic plan, we have a separate program review, which again incorporates into the health sector review process. We support the regions and districts which participate in the review of the programs and in all planning meetings, and we are always holding annual meetings, and we invite DMOs, regional medical officers, and sometimes health workers from health facilities to participate in these meetings, and we pay for their costs. The purpose is not only to enlighten them, but to make them feel they are part and parcel of the whole process. Recently, we have been embarking on assessment of the human resource needs, and we are in the process of developing a human resource plan, which will be much more reflected to enhance TB control in the country. But this is also, again, done within the framework of the master plan of the Ministry of Health planning process. We are now also participating in promoting task shifting, which is being promoted by WHO and other partners. We are collaborating with the building, for example, with building unit, the quality assurance unit, and the occupational health to ensure that infection control at the health facility, particularly TB infection control, doesn't become a TB program issue. It is like a health facility or health system issue. And we are part of the collaborating partners in the infection control process. Currently, we are now spearheading curriculum review for medical schools. 2 weeks ago, we invited all the 5 medical schools to sit together to finalize a training module for undergraduate students, which is based on the international standards of TB care. And I must say, the response is very good. We are all encouraged, and we are looking forward. By next year, all the schools are going to be training undergraduates on the international standards of TB care. And that, in the long run, will reduce the number of workshops for in-service training, because as they graduate, they will all be aware of the minimum standards required for TB care. And we are now pushing so that the package on international standards of TB care becomes part of the examinable questions at the final year. And that way, it will force all the students to learn more on the international standards of TB care. We are now working very closely with the Association of Private Health Facilities in the country, supported by PATH and the Global Fund, to make sure that whatever we do in the public sector is well reflected in the private sector. Let me also rush and say, in Tanzania, and because the private sector was not so much well established, whatever is happening in the public sector is the same which is happening in the private sector. We provide them with free diagnostic materials, including microscopes, reagents. We provide them with the same drugs. We provide them with the same recording and reporting system. And the same requirements are put on them as we put on the public sector. So patients are free to move from a private hospital to a public hospital or otherwise. Some of the patients you see, they are diagnosed within the private sector, but they continue their medications in the public sector. And that's how we are collaborating. Community involvement, we have now working very closely with some of the HTB patients to not only to raise awareness in the community, but also to find those missing 40% cases, which were alluded to by Catherine Floyd in the morning. So we are really using them for intensified case finding. They are following up each and every smear positive patient. And many of them, they need minimum support. They are, because they've gone through the process of the disease, really, they are well motivated to follow up these patients just to make sure that they can also access care. We are using them for supporting those who have HIV and TB, but they are continuing with home-based care. TB diagnostic and treatment delivery is done and reflected in the comprehensive cancer plan, which I said earlier. We are also working very closely with a number of partners to improve management and the leadership of the safe delivery point by strengthening clinical mentoring, by improving the quality of the programs we provide to the RHMT, the regional health management teams, and the district health management teams. And I must also say TB care and control has now been incorporated into the national essential health package, which each district must be doing. And all the TB drugs, as they are reflected in the essential medicines list. We have partners who are working very closely together. Here, I think what is new is I want to explain the fact that even the drug authority, they are partners in TB control. I must say, you cannot buy TB drugs in private pharmacies in Tanzania. We are not supervising that. We are not monitoring that. It's the drug authority which is monitoring that. It's an agreement with the private sector that we are going to provide them all the necessary TB drugs they need, so they don't need to bring into the country sort of not quality assured drugs. And the drug authority makes sure that they supervise all the importation of the medicines, and in particular TB drugs, so that they are not available. We are working very closely with the National AIDS Control Program. Currently, our efforts are moving towards IPT and the other three, and the other two I's, but essentially we are now working very closely to make sure that IPT is strengthened. When we implement TB control, I must say, we have two groups of people who are dedicated. We have regional coordinators and district coordinators, and all of them, they are paid for, their salaries are paid for by the government. So they are working for TB as part of the government contribution to strengthen TB control, and their salaries come from there. We also have a system where these all people who are working TB control are not accountable to the TB program. They are accountable to the health management systems at their own level. And this is assured that even the data we generate is used at that level. When it comes to drug management, the program is responsible for estimating requirements, identifying sources. Currently, we are beneficiaries of Global Fund Round, Global Drug Facility. This is the third year. But when the actual procurement, clearance from the airports, storage, distribution is not my responsibility. It lies within the medical stores department. My responsibility is to monitor whether the districts, the regions, have enough stocks of drugs. The laboratory services, which I said earlier in the morning, is supervised by the diagnostic department. Our role is to ensure that quality control from smear microscope is well adhered to at all levels. So we support the diagnostic services to ensure that there is quality control. Our recording and reporting system is now harmonized, and we report to the health management information system. And indeed, we have managed now to computerize TB data at the regional level. Our dream is to have a website where we can upload all the information and which can be shared by all. We have, since 2 months ago, we have now a website. We are working towards making sure that we can upload all the information there, and the HIMS people can download whatever information they want. We, as part of monitoring poverty in the country, one of the indicators is treatment success. So the Minister of Financing is monitoring the TB treatment success as part of poverty reduction strategies. As I said earlier, our financing is within the MTF, so whatever we have within the TB program is fully reflected there. These are some of the partners which are supporting us. As you can see, our budget, we have the main domestic international funding sources, which are reflected on the right. However, we still have a big problem, that each of the funding partners, they require their own separate reports. So we are very busy half of the times running to the districts looking for information to bring back, because it's a reporting period for one partner. The next month we run up collecting information for the next partner. At one time when we had what was a sector-wide approach, we had one report which was like one size fits all, but today that doesn't work. On the right is the list of partners who are supporting us, from Novartis, WHO, KNCV, CEDA, PEPFAR, Global Fund Round 3, Global Fund Round 6, Fidelis, Global Greenlight Committee. That's Global Fund mistake. And then we have government funding and GRRA, German Lepros, TB Lepros Association, USAID, PATH, which are now newcomers coming to support us. But I think the problem will be How can we harmonize the planning and the reporting system in this case? So, case study, I think this is the last. I just want to share with you how, through the Global Fund and CDC support, we have managed to recruit TB-HIV officers. Indeed, as a program, recruited almost 108, and the target is 132 TB-HIV officers. These clinicians are based at the district hospital. They are accountable to the district medical officer. And they work with TB clinics and HIV care treatment clinics. They are responsible to ensure TB-HIV integration at health facility level, facilitate data sharing. They participate in program and clinical management, and the patient's education, referral system, general supervisory visits. And as a result of employing the TB-HIV officers, our HIV screening among TB patients currently is standing at 81%. So you can see, by recruiting a small group of technical officers, it has helped a lot to accelerate screening for HIV among TB patients. So in that sense, we can clearly see, once we reduce the burden of HIV among TB, we are going to increase their survival, we are going to increase their trust in the health system. This is the structure, how they work, from CHMT down to continuum of care at the community level. And I think that was the last slide. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Saeed, please come here. Please come here. Thank you very much. Once more, please. There's a wonderful presentation from both of them. And both of them showed how they struggle and how to manage to keep the TB care as well as scale up, and also find a way to contribute to the health systems. I'm very sorry. Before going to the asking questions, let us go back to the history, because I think we can learn from the history as well. In the 1950s, there's a country which has one of the highest TB burden, which is much, much higher than any countries in the world, almost. And in the country where that one quarter of the national health expenditure went for tuberculosis care. So high burden and extreme high economic burden for the country. Let me invite Professor Shimao, Dr. Shimao. Dr. Shimao, please, can you comment that what you feel today and how do you find? Particularly, you have a living memory of that era. Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Saita. And my name is Dr. Shimao, working in Japan TB Association. And I'd like to introduce to you our past history in TB control in Japan. We started our national TB control program in 1951, so we have nearly 60 years experience in TB control. And this national TB control system in Japan consisting of three major components. One is mass health screening, second, BC vaccination, and third, care of TB patients, including diagnosis and treatment. And from the very beginning, 1951, we integrated our TB care for TB patients into general health service existing in Japan. So that means public-private mix existed in Japan nearly 60 years. And why? The size of the TB program then was so huge as to be taken care by specialist systems like chest clinic. As mentioned by Dr. Saita, the TB notification rate in 1951 was 700 per 100,000. Can you imagine 700 per 100,000? And as he said, 28% of the total national grant medical expenditure was spent only for TB. So that means TB is a huge problem. And how to tackle with this huge amount of TB patients existing, including even rural area? The one possibility is to treat a TB patient in sanatoria, TB sanatoria, because many specialists are there. But the TB sanatoria usually located in a very remote, inconvenient place, because of the stigma against tuberculosis. And the access was not so easy. Another possibility is to take care of TB patients in health centers in Japan. But in health centers of Japan, in principle, they are dealing only public health, and they are not allowed to participate in treatment program except TB and sexually transmitted disease. In case of TB, health centers can do artificial pneumothorax because in these days we have streptomycin and PAS, but not isoniazid. And streptomycin and PAS was not so potent enough to cure TB only by chemotherapy. And most common method of treatment then was the artificial pneumothorax and surgical collapse therapy. So under such a situation, if you think of the care for TB patients, the only possible way is to ask cooperation of the general practitioners working even in the rural area. And so we started our TB control program in this way, but to check, to improve the quality of care for TB, we made a so-called standard method of treatment for TB under social insurance, health insurance scheme. And all treatment should be done under this standard method. And in addition, we, under TB control law, we give a subsidy for treating TB cost, TB treatment, but this subsidy will be given under the special permission by the TB advisory committee set in each health center. This advisory committee consisting of director of health center, two TB specialists, and two representatives of TB local medical associations, and they check whether this applied method of treatment is appropriate or not. And if it is found to be appropriate, then the subsidy for cost of the medical treatment is given. In this way, we succeed to reduce TB. Currently, TB notification rate in the last year was only 19.5 per 100,000. 1951, 700. Now it's 19.5. So by the public-private mix, we succeeded to control TB rather quickly. And this is one of the success stories, I think, in the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Shimao. For those who knows Dr. Shimao is a classical TB expert, and for those who doesn't know, Dr. Shimao is a new TB expert in this room. So anyway, what Dr. Shimao, as well as Said and Saxon mentioned, is that all what they have done is that they will say all what CNUD always says, do's. They did a do's, coordination, harmonization, integration. And then I try to avoid to not to do don'ts. So the floor is open. Any questions, please? please. Yes. Can you go to the microphones and identify yourself? And question, please.
My name is Dr. Mopedi from Lesotho. I'm not so sure if the question will be directed to Dr. Saidi or Mr. Saxon, because their names seem to be interchanged on the screen. if that's true, but it's relating to the presenter that just presented now, which I think is Mr. Dr. Saidi. He mentioned about multiple sponsors spending a lot of time going around and around. With the presentation, or in the light of the presentation by Mr. Woolley, I think, where does he see Tanzania with regard to the integration of the funders and sparing some time in attending the other health, to other health issues in Tanzania? Because my understanding is, given the light that he has shared by the presentation of Mr. Woolley, it would be very important and very comprehensive and act as a vehicle towards ensuring that there is better funding and perhaps assisting in the healthcare system. So where do they see Tanzania fitting into the picture regarding the presentation by Mr. Woolley?
No, okay. No, somebody told me. Anyway, apology for the confusion of the photo. There's one from Tanzania, one from Thailand, one from Japanese. I think you can understand which one is which. So, Sai?
Dr. Seta, thank you. I think, as it was said in the morning sessions, one size does not fit all. I'll tell you, I've gone through all those processes. Between 2001 and 2004, we developed a strategic plan with the assurance of, within the framework of sector-wide approach, where all donors contributed to the budget of the strategic plan and the annual plan of action, and we had quarterly meetings with all donors, annual meetings with all donors, and one report was enough for all donors. Times change. Later on, we had different partners joining in, but with special conditions. And those who are, I would say, the basketeers had now flown away, had gone away. And we are now to bring in new partners, new thinking, new approach. And we are to dance to the new music. You cannot say, when you don't have all the money you need, you cannot say, I'm not going to accept this money. So what I'm saying is the reality on the ground. I'm not saying it's impossible to do it, but donors have different interests. Bottom line is they also have to report to their own respective governments how much money was spent in what and how was it spent. And sometimes the generic report may not provide all the information they need. So you have to give additional reports. So currently, apart from reporting to the government and to the others who are satisfied with that type of generic report, we also provide specific reports, which sometimes is very detailed, up to what is happening to each of the particular health facilities they are supporting. And it's part of the indicators they want to know. So we have got to go to each of the particular facilities or get reports from each of the particular facilities, explain exactly what happened during this period. I'm still of the opinion that at a point where donors will agree and coordinate, we may not be able to, as at a country level, able to sing the song of sector-wide approach. Many of us are familiar with the Global Fund requirements, and they have different requirements, and maybe they are also forced to demand those requirements. So that's how, if you are a beneficiary of the Global Fund, for example, or PEPFAR-supported funding, you find the requirements are different and the indicators they are monitoring are different, and you have got to bring in, although it may not be part of the general health management information system of the government. Thank you. I don't know whether I've answered, but the bottom line is we respond sometimes to the needs. It may not be the most optimum approach, but we need it if we are going to control diseases. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think Saeed has has everything to coordinate, like what they do, to coordinate the information system with the national health systems. And only those who don't follow are donors. I think that's a message I think we have to remember. Yes, please, can you come to the microphone, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Dr. Huong from Vietnam. I would like to have one question for both two speakers on a more practical aspect. That means I'd like to know, in Thailand or in Tanzania, do the health workers at the basic level like to work in the TB or TB and leprosy program? If yes, do you have any privilege for them to keep them in the network? Or if no, do you plan to have any solution for overcome this situation?
But why do you think they don't want to work with TB?
They want to move.
Ah, okay.
Yes, there is a big turnover of Even after good training, you know, after 1 or 2 years, they have to leave for another specialty.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Thank you for your question. I think it's hard to say yes or no for the health worker at the basic level. They are right to work with the TB. But however, even yes or no, we have to have any intervention that can be influenced them to work, and we have the process of monitoring and evaluation, and also the policy commitment. I think that will encourage them, and we have the motivative system to encourage them to work on TB. I think that on possible activity that can be done from the program. Thank you.
Since it's both of us, I'll tell you. I'll explain the Tanzania experience. We have, the bottom line is the answer is yes and no. Now let me start with the yes part of it. We have coordinators, district coordinators, who were recruited in 1977. They have never changed their post. They have never become senior coordinators. All principal coordinators, they are still local coordinators for the last 33 years, and they are happy to do that. But we have people we recruit, within 2 months, they run away. Let me say, why do we have people working for the TB program for 33 years, still when they are young until they get old? Partly is dedication from there for them to save people they see. But two is the system and mechanisms we have within the program which motivates them to work. We provide them with, say, transport, motorcycles after every 4 years. We replace, provide them with new motorcycles. We provide them with the funding, partly, and now it's more and more taken by the district for supervision, moving around from each of the diagnosis centers to see their patients and how they are doing defaulter tracing. We invite them in quarterly meetings, annual meetings. We involve them in all new workshops whenever there is any new development. So they feel as they are part and parcel of the team. And indeed, one of the coordinators who has been serving the program is here with us today. We brought him to Paris as part of the motivation that you have been working with TB for so long. Why don't you also come to Paris and see the global community which is involved in TB control? Hear it from with your own ears. So that on its own is a message which goes around. We recognize their contributions. However, it does not necessarily mean that we are giving them additional pay, additional money. On the other hand, we are people we recruit. And because they've heard about the TB program, they think there's a lot of money. They come, they look around, there's no more money, but more work. And then they look at patients coughing everywhere, and they say, no, this is not a place. I'm going to be effective. And they run away. And there is nothing I can do. So health workers are constantly on the move. Some stay longer than others. But what I would like to see is, within the health system, to recognize those who are dedicated to TB as a risky disease. We don't provide much infection control to our health workers. There are no masks, there is nothing. We don't provide them with any additional nutritious food. But I would like to see these components being fully reflected at the health facility level to recognize their contributions in TB control. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Said. Please extend my sincere thanks to the district coordinators who have been there for the last 30 years. It's wonderful. And then any other questions? Yes, please. Brief. Imad, brief, please.
Okay, I'm Imad from WHO Sudan. I just want a question that will prepare us for the coming presentations or session. In the two experiences, for Thailand, they have a memo of understanding with, you know, other care providers. And for Tanzania, we learned from the presentation that there is a kind of law that, you know, prohibit or not allowing selling of TB drugs privately. So I want to have a comment on the rule of the laws or the legalization on, you know, allowing the TB to contribute in other healthcare provider system. This is one. For Tanzania, I want to have, just from your experience, building human capacity, training, you know, sending for external training and internal training, does it have any kind of promotion for the career of your staff in the country? I mean that attending such conference, if I'm working for Tanzania and return back, should this have any input on my career pathway? Thank you.
Yes, Said, please.
Thank you. I think for Tanzania, we are very cognizant that we need to create human career. For example, as a program, we have sponsored people to attend master's courses. The most recent examples, they went to London School of Medicine, School of Medicine and Hygiene to do master's in medical microbiology, and they are back and they are working. We supported someone part of the PhD program. He came, he joined the program with the master's. We supported part of the PhD program, and now he's completed his PhD. He's with us. So we need to recognize those who want to advance themselves. As a program, we always set aside at least one or two people in a year could be supported for long-term training. But the good thing is most of them do come back. And for short courses, wherever there is opportunity, we bring, for example, I have a group of about 8 people participating in this course, in this conference, and we take them across the within the country and outside the country, wherever possible. Recently, we have taken 8 people to Lesotho to learn on MDR-TB. Some, we have also taken others to Uganda, for example, recently. So there is active interaction. The union is organizing management courses in Thailand, and every year we send at least one or two people. And the union is also organizing the international course on TB control in Arusha. Every year we send 4 people. So we really recognize that we need to build up. I'm not so sure whether there is no separate career line called TB experts. You can be a doctor, a nurse, a laboratory technician, or a scientist. Now, there are no separate career line within the establishment to be a TB expert. So you'll never see senior TB expert. Cannot be a senior program manager. You'll be always a program manager. So that's the line. Thanks.
Thank you very much. My daughter always asks me that, Dad, when are you become big, when you get the promotion? And I say, I'm a TB officer. I'm very proud to be a TB officer. And but still, it's a very critical point. And and anyway, both of them work very difficult, a changing situation like Thailand in the health insurance, which is the key health systems issue for the middle-income countries, and probably now in the upper-low-income countries. This is a national strategy. And he managed to expand TB care and contribute. And Said is doing a swap, and now IHP Plus may come, and many others may come. Under difficult financial situation, he managed to expand. And both of them, if we hear carefully, that they managed to do the DOOS, coordination, integration, cooperation, or as well as 6 health systems block points, governance, or service delivery products, and the workforce, they have contributed. Having said so, allow me to use the liberty of a chair. I would extend 5 more minutes because my ADG, Dr. Nakatani, extend 20 minutes, so 5 minutes is not a crime. Which is to go, not this one, some of you have already seen this. This. Let me share some experience and ideas that the era of a global fund, era of money, although the pendulum is going back to the other side, could be, possibly. But the main question of today was how to contribute to health systems. And for me, that after the second session, question could be how to contribute to the global initiative on HSS. But from TB, my narrow-minded point of view, how to use the global initiative for HSS. And then that for those who are working for global and closely like me, the issue is how to use the GFF, ATM, HSS, for HSS. Sorry, I forgot that for HSS. But actually, my question is how to use the global and HSS for TB. Because end of the day, we have to provide the care for tuberculosis. I'm paid for this. And then Afghanistan, in the round 8, we went to Afghanistan with my colleague dealing with malaria. It's a 4 days workshop in the March. What they did is day one, we divided into three groups, and then we held a disease-specific gap analysis. For TB, it's a six components of tuberculosis. What are the situation? What are the gaps? And what are the actions? On the second day, we gave them the another table. Now that it's not the six components of stop TB strategy, it's a six components of six health systems block. So we translated in the gaps identified the first day against the health systems block, but it's still among the TB patient, TB group. So at the end of the second day, we have the analysis of the TB gap against the six health systems block. On the third and fourth day, together with the HSF people, TB, malaria, and AIDS came up with the same table against the six health systems block and the gaps, and they tried to put all together. So end of the day, that we had, I think, three or four pages of extensive list of HSS analysis. And then those identified as, for example, laboratory network, because malaria needs more laboratory in the periphery because it's more endemic area. And also we need more health workforce in some areas, as well as we need more health facilities in between the most peripheral institutions health posts, the most peripheral volunteers, community health workers. We need somebody in between. So we said to the HSS people, these are the HSS barriers or health system barriers that are identified by the three disease components groups. And these are our suggestions. Why don't you do this? And then we gave it to them. And the result is, boom. It's category 2, B. So we got it. Anyway, success. A lot of lessons, like what I said. I have to confess that after giving this table, we were too busy to look at it. So honestly speaking, I don't know what is the house last product look like, honestly. I know it's quite largely based on our discussions. And for your information, Knut warned me that I should not share this to the audience, but I think it's okay. According to the table we received, we have 24 HS approved. It may not be correct, because if you refer to this project, don't refer to this, because it may not be correct. But including up to 1, 2, 2B, we saw the 24 HSS approved. It's a component for B. And if we say mother components, which is to say to which disease component belongs to this 4B, and our quick calculation says 14 are HIV, 4 malaria, 6 TB. It could be by chance. It really could be by chance. One country might have only HIV. But my feeling is not by chance. I think HIV people most largely saying we need HSS. And then that the TB, I think I have to promote more HSS from a TB point of view, but of course, nicely saying that we have to strengthen health systems, but we need more TB care. I think this is probably lessons of what we learned down date. Once the final analysis comes in, it may be a completely different figure. But also, we are working with the HSS people in the regional office, and I'll share you at the last, the slide they always use. This is a NASA space shuttle launching site. I think it's in Florida. And then that space shuttle and the launching pad. And our health system people always say the health system is a launching pad. And say that you are in the technical program fighting diseases in the space shuttle. You go up, explode or fly, or it's up to you. No, he didn't say that. He's a good friend of mine. But I think this is a nice photograph I always use, that we are really mutually dependent. And we will communicate by radio or whatever, but we are mutually dependent. We cannot live together. And then these two gentlemen who presented today nicely stand on the launching pad, and they stand, and then that after the counting, move to the sky. So thank you very much. The session is ended. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was nice.